Let's take our Bibles and open them to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And so this morning, I'm going to continue or go back to the our summer sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And this morning, we're going to look at commandment number 5. The word is unity. The entire series I've entitled These 10 Words, because each one of the commandments really can be understood or distilled down just in one simple word. And the word for commandment number 5 is unity. Unity. Now, when I this past week, somebody left on my desk the Hillbilly Ten Commandments. I'm not going to tell you who, but it was David Suarez, I think. His name was on it anyway. And by the way, David, they were out of order, so I put them in order, okay, if you don't mind. I just thought I might share them with you because they just bless me, and they just kind of put it in a way that maybe we might not think of. But anyway, the first commandment is this. Ain't nothing come before the Lord. Ain't nothing come before the Lord. Commandment number 2, ain't but one God. Ain't but one God. Number 3, quit your foul mouthing. That's right. I like that. Number four. I like this one. Get your hide to Sunday meeting. Number 5. I really appreciate a little bit of laughter here because in the first service, you know, I read these and everybody was just kind of like, what in the world? Number 5. Honor your ma and your pa. Number 6. No killing except for critters. That comes from some hunters right there, I'll tell you that. Number 7, no fooling around with another fella's gal. That's pretty good. Number 8, no swiping your kinfolk stuff. Number 9, no telling tales and gossiping. Number 10, don't be hankering for your neighbor's things. That's it, there's just 10. Okay, so it's okay to smile in church every once in a while. Anyway, that blessed me, and I thought that might bless you. So we're looking at the 5th commandment this morning. And this commandment holds or carries a unique spot or unique place among the 10. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we go. But just for right now, let me just say that this commandment relates to the home. And every one of us have a home, for better, for worse, for good or for bad. We all have homes. And the home is smack dab in the middle of your relationship with God. And if you're going to relate to God, your relationship with God is going to be played out in the home, or it's going to be seen first there. And so this commandment is very, very, very important when it comes to who we are and how we relate to God and how we relate to others. And so let's just read it. It's just one verse, Exodus chapter 20. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, there are a lot of people who think, or there have some who suggested, that this commandment of the Lord does not apply any longer. That perhaps we could apply it to children, but for the rest of us, since we're not at home, we don't have to obey our mom and dad anymore, because didn't Jesus say, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, they two shall be one flesh. Well, the commandment for children is obey your parents. But the commandment for adults is honor your father and your mother. Now, a child obeys this commandment by obeying his parents, because as a child, when you, and by the way, and this includes anybody still living at home. So teens, let me just tell you this. And if you're 20 or 25 or however, if you're living in the home with your mom and dad, then the commandment is obey them, and you'll honor your mother and father by obeying them. But now when you move out of the house, now the commandment is honor them. You are no longer, honestly, parents, listen to me. You are no longer required by God to obey your parents. Now, if they happen to be paying for your college education, it might be a good idea to do what they tell you to do. But when you move out of the house, the commandment is no longer obey your parents, but the commandment is honor your father and your mother. By the way, the Ten Commandments fall under that part of the law of God that we call the law of God. In fact, if I were to separate the law, and by the way, tonight at the Pi Fellowship, one of the questions relates to this, and so I'm going to expound on this a little bit further. But there are different types of the law. There's the law of God, there's the law of Moses, and there's the law of Christ. And really, you have to understand that to understand how you are to act or to relate to God or to take Scripture. Now, the Ten Commandments come under the law of God, and the law of God is immutable. That means it doesn't change, and that means it is applicable to every one of us from throughout the generations, from the time that it was given by God up on Mount Sinai and written in stone, until this day, we are all under the law of God. And you're going to be judged by the law of God, as a matter of fact. And so this commandment, honor your father and your mother, is set in stone, and it is to be obeyed by each one of us. And quite honestly, I dealt with this as I was preparing this sermon and actually before, and it really hit me kind of hard because not only am I a son, so I have a responsibility to honor my parents, but I am also a father. And I want to be honored by my kids. And for those of you who are in the life, that time of life that Donna and I are in, so you've raised your kids and they've moved off, and maybe you're somewhere there in between, maybe some are still home, some are moved off, you're going to know what I'm talking about. So when our daughter turned 18 and she went off to college, and I remember grieving over that because I wasn't quite ready for that little girl to go off to college, but also remember resenting her because she would not call home. She would call home whenever she needed some money or she had a problem. And I would talk to her and I'd say, "Why don't you call your mother?" She said, "Well, Dad, I'm busy." I said, "Well, I understand that, but you need to call your mother." And then 2 years later, our son went off to college. And so we've been, you know, empty nesters since then. And he never called home. He never needed anything or needed any money. So we resented that. And, you know, I honestly felt dishonored. Some of you understand what I'm talking about because you've got children who have gone off, and maybe this is a sore spot with you, and you feel dishonored. Well, beloved, you might want to get a copy of this sermon and send it off to your kids. I don't know, but let me just tell you this: as you have felt dishonored, understand how God feels when He says this: honor your father and your mother. And you neglect them or whatever. Now, what I'm going to do in this sermon is I'm going to talk to you about what that means or the impact upon our lives in obeying or keeping this commandment, and also what it means to fail in this commandment. I will tell you that I haven't been the perfect son. In fact, I say all that stuff about, you know, sometimes feeling dishonored by my own children, and then I got to realize that I did the same thing to my parents. When I was 18 years old, I joined the Navy, moved out, and then we got married. And, you know, maybe once or twice a year, you know, we would make connection with Mom and Dad. I didn't understand at that time what was going on with them and how they felt about it, but I do now. And so I want to say to each one of us, the commandment applies: honor your father and your mother. All right? And so first of all, I want to just tell you about why God gave this command. And so really, the first thing I want to do is just talk about the purposes of the command and what it does. Remember, the word is unity. And the unity that this command gives us is from generation to generation. The younger generation is connected to the older generation or the previous generation. And that connection is filled with honor or dishonor. And when it is filled with honor, then we are blessed by God. And when it's dishonor, then we are under the curse of God. And I'll show you that. So why did God give this commandment in the first place? What was the purpose of God in listing honor your father and your mother as the fifth commandment? Well, first of all, this commandment places the home in the center of God's will for your life. Let me just say that again. The fifth commandment places the home, your home, in the center of God's will for your life. In other words, the purpose and plans of God is being worked out in you and through you in your home. Let me just explain how that works. For you and me, we're known by what we do. In fact, this is the way we introduce ourselves. If I didn't know you very well, I might come up to you and say, "Hi, how are you doing? My name is Greg Smith. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church." And so I'm introducing myself, or I'm telling you who I am based upon what I do. I am the pastor. I pastor First Baptist Church. If you were to introduce yourself, you might say, "Hi, I am Cooper Langham, and I am a student at Hardin-Simmons University." And so he would introduce himself as what he does, each one of us. You might be a teacher at Bear Elementary School, and you might say, "Hi, I am Beth Berg, and I teach school, you know, for a living." Whatever it is, we introduce ourselves, or we're known by what we do. But in Hebrew culture, you weren't known by what you did or do. You were known by who you belonged to. In fact, if you'll notice as you go through Scripture, when somebody's introduced to us, they're introduced to us as the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. In fact, you were known by your father, your clan, and your tribe. Let me just give you an illustration of this. A couple of chapters later in Exodus chapter 35, there's a man by the name of Oholiab. I said that wrong. No, that's not the guy I'm talking about. Bezalel. His name is Bezalel. And if you ever have any problem with any of these Old Testament names, just know that your pastor does as well. So anyway, Bezalel is introduced to us, and he's going to turn out to be the man who is the construction foreman for the tabernacle. And Moses is introducing him because he's got all of these gifts, and he's going to get all these people together to build the tabernacle. And so in verse 30 of Exodus 35, it says, "Then Moses said to the Israelites, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah.'" Now, you get that? He's going to go on to tell what Bezalel can do, but he introduces him this way. His daddy's name was Uri. So this is Bezalel, and that's his daddy Uri over there. And that's his grandpappy, Hur, over there. And by the way, they're all of the tribe of Judah. And what he was giving was father, clan, and tribe. So that's how you were known, because everybody understood you were connected, that nobody lived as an island unto himself. You came from someplace, and you belonged to somebody. And that somebody was your father, and then your clan, your grandfather or great-grandfather, and then the tribe from which you come. And everybody was connected in that way. Now, beloved, God worked all this out, or he planned all this out this way, that we would be connected from one generation to the next. The family, the home, is the primary institution in this world, and we all belong to our blessing or to our detriment. Let's just say that. And I'll get into that here a little bit more, but God planned it this way. I mean, just think about it. The very first institution that God put in place in this world was marriage, right? So God created the heavens and the earth. He did all that. And then he created a man. And then he created a woman. And he put them together in marriage in the home. Now, why did God do it that way? Well, he did it because, watch this. In fact, the Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. God says this, "Has not the Lord," or the prophet says, "has not the Lord made them one?" He's talking about husband and wife. "In flesh and in spirit they are his. And why one?" So he asked the question, why did God do it this way? Why did God make a home filled with a husband and a wife and make them one flesh? He says, because he was seeking godly offspring. Now, you get that? See, here was God's plan. God put a man and a woman together in marriage in the home, and he did that for the next generation. And the next generation is godly offspring. Where does a young man or a young woman learn to know God and love God? He learns it in the home first. And by the way, if you're one of those that think that you just take your kids to church and drop them off and they're going to learn about God there, listen, you need to understand that you are primarily responsible for the instruction of your children, both religious and otherwise. And so if your kids are going to learn anything about mathematics, they need to see that you're interested in that. If you take them up here to Bear Elementary School or wherever, when they get home, do their homework with them. And if you're going to bring them up here to the church and hope that they get to know everything there is to know about God, if you're not talking about the Lord at home, if God's name is taken in vain or used as a curse word in your home, what are they going to learn? Do you understand? And beloved, every one of us, husband and wife, we're going to stand before God someday and we're going to give an account for our children, how we raise them. There is a connection between generation and generation. And I'll tell you what, beloved, it breaks my heart today. You know, that we are living in a culture today in which we're really not even sure how all these things work out, you know. And what's happened is many people have given up on the home because many people have given up on their marriages. And that passage in Malachi says that God hates divorce. Why? Because of what it does to the children. Because the plan of God, the purposes of God, is worked out first for every one of us in the home. The home is the primary place where God's plan, His purposes, are worked out in our lives. But that's not all. The purposes of God in giving this commandment is also because the home is the center of God's purposes for this world. It is in the center of God's purpose for your life, yes. And you're going to find fulfillment and blessing in the home above and beyond anything and everything else, but also for this entire world. So what happens is one generation is called to honor the next generation. And so children, obey your parents, or to honor the previous generation. And that's because the generations are tied together. And this is what God blesses. And this is the purpose and the plan of God, not just for you, but for the entire world. So just watch this. Watch when the unity in the home begins to break down. Look how it affects the rest of the world. Let me just give you an illustration. If you were to study world history, what you're going to find is that the fall of every great civilization was preceded by a breakdown of the marriage structure and the home. Every great civilization, you're going to find, before they fell, homes were torn apart. Now, what we see happening in our culture, in our civilization, in this thing that we call the United States of America, is exactly that. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the things that keeps me on my knees before God for my country. Because just recently here in this past year, we have gone through a very public thing in which we've redefined marriage. I mean, we used to know what marriage was. It was a union between a man and a woman. But marriage is no longer a union between a man and a woman. It can now be a union between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and his horse, I suppose, if that's what he wants to do. I mean, who's to tell a man he can't marry his dog? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you can't define marriage the way God does it, then it can be anything. And what we've seen is not just a redefinition of marriage, but we've seen the entire family structure, the home structure, falling apart. Because marriage between a man and a woman, by the way, which is God's plan, is the foundation of every home. And I personally have a tendency to think that we're coming to the place in our country, maybe within another 10 or 20 years, nobody will be getting married. Why should you? I mean, if you want to live with somebody, live with somebody, do whatever you want to with them. If it feels good, do it. And don't worry about anybody else. And if you want to quit, then go live with somebody else. I mean, that's where we're at today. I mean, why in the world would anybody get married these days except to honor God? I don't know, because it's perfectly acceptable to do anything else. And what happens is children are being brought into this, and what they're being demonstrated for in the home is a complete and total disregard or lack for the principles or the purposes or the plans of God or the love of God. And so as a result, families are being broken apart, and people and children are being broken apart. And look at what the results are. If you were to go to any prison in this nation, federal prison, state prison, doesn't matter. Go to any prison in this nation, you know what you're going to find? The overwhelming majority of the long-term inmates come from broken homes. 75% of the inmates in prison today who are there because of violent crime, murder, rape, those type of things, a good 75% of those men in prisons today, for those reasons, that are there for those reasons, come out of homes in which there's no father. In other words, the father just walked out and abandoned and left the mother to raise the children on their own. And what we're doing is we're raising up generation after generation of people that don't know who they are. And the result is a complete and total breakdown of the fabric of our nation. I want you to notice something. Of the Ten Commandments, I mentioned to you before, the first four deal with our relationship, this vertical relationship that we have with God. So you shall have no other gods before me. Don't make an idol. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those four deal with your relationship with God. Now, the last six deal with your horizontal relationships or your relationship with other people. So notice. So we've got don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet. Okay? And so are all of those things important in a society? Would we like everybody to obey these? Certainly. Where do you learn to do this? Notice that the first commandment of the last six is honor your father and your mother. Do you see that? In the home, when honor is filling that home, you learn how to live in this world with everybody else. When this doesn't happen, then none of the rest of this matters. Do whatever you want to. You understand? And so that's why I say that God gave us this commandment, because he knew that the home was going to be vital for each one of us as individuals, and for us as a civilization or as a culture. And when the home falls apart, when the home breaks down, the nation does as well. So real quickly, what does it mean to honor? So the commandment is honor your father and your mother. Now, I want you to notice that God doesn't define for us here exactly how to honor them. He doesn't say, honor your father and your mother by calling them every Saturday on the phone or going to visit them once a month or keeping them out of the nursing home or something like that. He doesn't give us those things. So there are a lot of ways in which you might honor and dishonor your parents. What does it mean to honor? Well, the Hebrew word that's translated honor here comes from the root word is the Hebrew word kavod. And it literally means, or it literally refers to weightiness or heaviness. When this word is used to refer to God, it's usually translated glory. And so the kavod of God is the glory of God. It's his heaviness or weightiness. In fact, it's that part of God which you see. In fact, in the Old Testament, the word Shekinah glory might be something that you're familiar with. That's the tangible or the part of God you could actually put your hands on. So, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon dedicates the temple, and the glory of God comes down, and everybody saw it. The glory of God came down and filled the temple, and that was the kavod, the weightiness, the heaviness of God. That's what you could see. Now, when this word kavod is used to refer to a man or a woman, it refers to possessions, many instances. So the more possessions you have, people believe that you are more blessed by God, and so that was your weight, okay? So the more you had, the more weight you carried. In fact, we might say it like this, that guy pulls a lot of weight around here, right? And so we're saying he's somebody. And so the Hebrews believed if God blessed you with all these things, then you ought to be honored. You ought to be given a special place or something like that. And so this word refers to weightiness or honor. Now, a little bit later in Scripture, the word is translated value or price. For example, this is the same word that's used when Judas went to the religious leaders and said, how much would you give me if I tell you where Jesus is? And they said 30 pieces of silver. So 30 pieces of silver became the price or the value for Jesus. It's this same word, kavod. When the Apostle Paul says, you are bought with a price, it's this same word that's translated from Hebrew into Greek. And so it literally means the value. So when you honor somebody, you value them. When you honor someone, you place proper value upon them. And you exalt them, you value them, or you exalt them by valuing them in your own life. Now understand, again, God doesn't say exactly how you are to honor your father and mother. And for some of us, our father and mother may not be living anymore. But you know what? You can still honor them by valuing them in your life and the way you live your life. In fact, quite honestly, I'll tell you that I haven't always honored my father, for example. And many of you know my father. And you know that he was a pastor. And there was a time in my life when I rebelled against that and I was running away from that. And the last thing in the world I wanted to be was like my dad. But you know what? Not too long ago, I was sitting with my dad and I was telling him just how much I loved him and thanked God for him. And I was telling him, I said, Dad, you know, I try to do the best I can because I want you to be honored in my life. And he said, well, listen, you don't have to do that for me. And I said, Dad, I do have to because the Scripture says honor your father and your mother. And what I've discovered is as I live my life out for Jesus, then my father is honored by me. Do you see that? So God doesn't say exactly how to value your mother and father, but he says honor them. Now, I want you to notice that there are some consequences to this, both positive and negative. So, this is the only commandment that carries with it a blessing. Did you notice that? That's the positive consequence. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land. Now, it literally means long life, but more than just living to be 110, because you might die at a young age and you're still blessed by God. It really refers to not just you, but your entire family receiving the blessing of God. In the Hebrew mind, long life was part of God's blessing. And what God is saying, when you are faithful, when you honor your father and your mother, God says, I'm going to bless you. Do you see that? Now, the other side of that, or the negative, is the curse. Is there a curse for dishonoring your father and your mother? Well, if you look just over on the next page in your Bible, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 15 says, anyone who attacks his father or mother must be put to death. Verse 17 says, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. I mean, I want you to understand that the death penalty in Hebrew life, there is the death penalty for dishonoring your parents, but there's more to it than that. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16, and Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. And Moses wrote this. He said, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Did you get that? Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or mother. So on the one hand, how serious is this thing? Well, on the one hand, if you honor your father and mother, there's the blessing of God. That's the promise. It's right there in Scripture. If you dishonor your father and mother, then the curse of God is upon you. You think that's serious? You think it might benefit you to honor your father and mother? Now you might be sitting here saying, now, hold on, Brother Greg, you don't know my mom and dad, or you didn't know them, and they weren't honorable. And I understand that this might be a very difficult command for some of us. It might be that your father abused you. It may be that your mother did things to you that are unspeakable. I mean, I don't know. So what I want to do is I just want to kind of wrap this up and just give you just a couple of things to think about as we leave this commandment. All right? And these are just some, I don't even know if they're practical things. I prayed over this and I asked God, God, how could I share this in such a way that would make this commandment live within us? And here's what I came up with. Number one, honor your father and your mother as if your life depended upon it. And I just want to say that in a very simple way. Honor your father and mother as if your life depended upon it. Because it does. It doesn't mean that you're going to be stoned or that you're going to be whipped or beaten or anything like that if you don't. The physical penalty for disobeying this commandment is no longer part of our cultural background, so we don't kill people who dishonor their parents. But beloved, there is a spiritual penalty. I want you to understand that. There is a spiritual reward or a spiritual penalty. And for better or worse, your parents gave you life. And that life is part of the gift of God through them. And so as a result of that, whoever they are or whatever they are, your parents are vital to you. You wouldn't be here if your father and mother hadn't come together in love with before God. You understand that? And so God created us with a mother and father. And I think that part of this honor business, or honor your father and mother, is the need that God put within us to belong. Here's the unity that I'm talking about. And I'm not exactly sure how to explain that, but I do believe that this commandment deals with the need that each one of us have to belong somewhere, to know who we are based upon where we come from. And this is why you're called to honor your father and mother. Let me just illustrate this with my own life. I said a moment ago, I haven't always honored my father. And there was a time in my life where I suppose you could say I hated him. I hate to say that, and I'm ashamed to say it, but it's true. And many of you may have gone through the same thing, and you might be there right now. I don't know. But there came a time in my life where I recognized that, and this came actually after I became a father myself, I realized my dad was not perfect, my mom was not perfect. And I had to forgive them of some things, I suppose, and I had to ask them to forgive me of some things. But you know what happens to me right now? I mean, I was born in Odessa, Texas, and if you were to ask me where I'm from, I'd probably tell you I'm from Odessa, Texas. But I'm really not from Odessa, Texas, because that's where I was born. But I've been back there a couple times. It doesn't feel like home. I honestly wouldn't claim it. Not that there's anything wrong with Odessa, Texas. And I've never lived in a little town called Goulbusk, Texas. I don't know if you've ever heard of Goulbusk. It's kind of a strange name, but that's the name of the place. It's about 10, 15 miles south of Coleman, Texas. And when I was a little boy, there was still a soda fountain in Goulbusk. It's not even there anymore. But when I was a little boy, we'd go back there and we could go in and get a soda. We could set up at the fountain, and it was one of them old-fashioned soda fountains, and get a soda. There's just some empty buildings there, but not far, just right outside of Goulbusk, there's some land there. And on that land, my daddy was raised, and his daddy was raised, and his daddy farmed. In fact, Granddad Smith moved out there sometime in the early 1900s, and that's where the family lived and was raised. And they're all buried out there in the Goulbusk Cemetery. All it really left of the town is a church and a cemetery. And I was out in that cemetery not too long ago, a couple of years ago, maybe about 5 years ago. And I got to thinking about connection, because sometimes I've wondered who I am and where I belong. Where do I belong? And I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I have. And out in Goulbusk, Texas, I can tell you that it feels like home. When I stand over those graves, or I stand out by that property that used to belong to my family, where my dad was raised and my grandfather and where my great-grandfather farmed, I can honestly say, this is where I come from. These people is where I'm from. This really is who I am, ultimately, if you go back. Now, I'm a lot of other things because there's been other people and other things that are put in my life. But that really is where I belong. And what I'm suggesting to you is that this is part of God's plan. Honor your father and mother as if your life depended upon it, because honestly it does. And I'm not talking about just existing. I'm talking about the satisfaction of life that comes in knowing who you are before God. So honor your father and mother as if your life depended upon it. Second thing, honor your father and mother because God commands it. Now, this is a commandment. It's not just a suggestion. God just didn't say, honor your father and mother if they're honorable. He didn't say honor your father and mother if they're good enough to be honored. And again, I know that this might be very painful for some of you. You may be sitting here thinking, man, I tell you what, I'm just not sure I can do this because of the way my daddy or my mama or whoever it was acted or treated me. And let's just be honest, there are some parents who don't deserve honor. They haven't acted in an honorable way, and they haven't been there, and they haven't done it. Some of them have violated us in ways that may very well be unspeakable. Do it anyway. Honor them anyway as a command of God. Because God says do it. And what happens is when you honor your parents in this way, and whatever that means, again, how has that played out? I'm not sure. You've got to figure that out before God yourself. And it might very well be just how you live your life. But when you honor your father and mother, you are honoring God. And your relationship with God is blessed. I mean, God blesses this. And beloved, He cannot bless us if our life is filled with dishonor towards our parents. Last thing. Honor your father and mother while you still have time. Beloved, the older I get, the more I realize this truth. Life is short. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And what happens is many of the things that we intend to do remain undone because we get busy doing other things. And it is true you can honor your parents after they're gone, but what does it matter if you don't honor them while they're there? And I have the opportunity to do a lot of different funerals, and I've seen a lot of tears at funerals, and sometimes I think that the tears and flowers are more about guilt than they are grief, because the time has passed, and there's no way to make up the past. How can I honor my father and my mother? Let me just give you this right here, okay? Hold on to this. Make Jesus the center of your life. If your mom and dad is a Christian and Jesus is the center of your life, you're honoring your mother and father. And they will be honored and blessed by that. If your mother and father are not Christians and you make Jesus the center of your life, then it might very well be that God will use that to touch them or to bring them to Himself. And what a greater way to honor your parents than to be the instrument by which you and they are one day stand around the throne of God giving worship and praise to God Almighty. Honor your father and your mother. Do it because God said it, and do it because or while you still have time, because life is too short. So the key word is unity. Here it is. We are connected together from generation to generation. One generation to the next, to the next. This is the way God planned it. This is the way God works it out in your life. Honor your father and mother because you are connected to the previous generation. Now, let me just ask the question, are you connected? I'm going to give the invitation here in just a second, and some of us might have to come up to this altar and just maybe talk to God about some things that He's been talking to us about in relationship maybe to our parents or maybe to our children. Some of us might have to say, you know what? I want to get right with God because I want to honor my parents who love Jesus. And so the invitation is to give your life to Christ or to get your life right with Christ. This altar is going to be open here in just a second. And the invitation is to come to Jesus, all right? Beloved, here's the command. Honor your father and your mother. You are connected. Whether you like it or not or believe it or not, you're connected to the previous generation. And honor is honoring God. Honor is part of the blessing of God. Dishonor brings the curse. Father, help us here today to be faithful to your word and to the commandment. And Father God, I want to just today pray for those who might be here that whose father or mother or both were not honorable or did not raise them in an honorable way. Father, I pray for those who have been abused and those who have been hurt. And God, I know that perfect healing and grace comes through Christ Jesus. And when we're healed by Jesus, then the grace can flow out of us even back to a parent who is abusive. So God, today I just pray that you would do your work in whatever way or however you need to do it in our lives here today. God, to make us right with you and with each other, with this world, and in our family. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.